Hi, this is Clarence. I take the job,
Frogman.
Henry, all the way from New Orleans, you're listening to my man, Ronnie Allen. Keep listening.
Frog it.
Ladies and gentlemen, who needs an introduction when I have that?
Round of applause.
It's Ronnie.
Get
it any time.
Oh, man, I love that. I was not prepared for that. Your voice came out of my mouth. I love surprises. And Clarence, Frogman, Henry, it is a pleasure to have you on the phone.
Oh, Ronnie, you know, Frogman always sings,
Gorgie.
Like a girl, too, you know, Ronnie?
Yeah, it's going to be one of those nights, I could just tell. How many voices do you do? We know.
I have three voices, Ronnie. I sing like a man.
I sing like a girl.
And I sing like a girl.
Yeah. You got the job.
Ronnie, don't ask me how I do it. I just do it, Ronnie. It just come natural.
Ah.
Ronnie, I only heard people do the frog like I do it. My son and my brother.
You were born in Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, why does it say Algiers, New Orleans? Is Algiers?
Well, you see, Algiers is a part of New Orleans, right across the river. You know, it's West New Orleans. Four parts, they call it Algiers, but it's really New Orleans.
It's actually like a suburb of New Orleans, so to
speak.
Right. Okay. Now, I'm going to make a wild guess. I generally ask people who you were influenced by, and I'm just going to throw out two names. Fats Domino and Professor Longhair. Are those two people that you admired?
Right. During my time coming in school at L.V. Landry High School in Algiers, there was Fats Domino and Professor Longhair. And secretary at the school, when the principal would have a meeting with the teachers, she would have me sing to the student bodies. And I would wear a wig like Professor Longhair. I didn't know the difference. You know, Longhair, I thought it was a wig with plaits, you know. I had two plaits like an Indian. And Fats Domino, that was my man. And I met him in 1956 when I was getting ready to go to the Apollo Theater January the 4th. I loved Fats Domino.
1956 was a good year for you. At some point, I assume it might have been during that year, you decided that you were going to adopt as part of your vocal talent a frog voice. Do you remember when that happened?
It happened around September when we went into the studio. But I had written the song Ain't Got No Home when I was playing at the old Joy Lounge in Gretna. I was working overtime and I was getting angry, but I respect my leader. And I hit a riff on the piano. The people didn't have a home. The lady didn't have a home. The frog didn't have, chicken didn't have a home. And so Paul Gayton, the A&R man for Chess down in New Orleans, he sent a dove up to Leonard Chess in Chicago. And Leonard came down and he heard me do the song in person. And he told Paul to take me into the studio. And that's when we recorded the song, Ain't Got No Home and Troubles. And we put it out on a trial disc. And it was pushing Troubles. And the leading disc jockey here in New Orleans, Papa Stava at that time, at WGMR, I was happening to be in the studio and the people was requesting. He flipped it over from Troubles to Ain't Got No Home. Mm-hmm. And people didn't know the name of the song or who was singing it, so they say play the frog song by the frog man.
When you wrote Ain't Got No Home, though, at that point you knew that you were going to have a girl voice and a frog voice, right? When you wrote the song.
Right.
So you just got inspired one day to do a frog?
Everybody... I used to do that in school, tease the girls, you know, go like a frog. Algae was made of frogs, alligators, and, you know, wildlife. It was a wildlife, like in the suburbs, country, you know.
You mean when you were very young.
This
is years before Ain't Got No Home. You were doing your little froggy thing.
In school, I was teasing the girls.
And how did they react to that?
It was a joke to them, you know.
Okay, as long as you...
Girl voice came from Sheridan Lee, you know, let the good time roll, nothing sweeter than you and different things.
Yeah.
But in the band, which we had, Eddie Smith Band and Walter Epps and Eugene Jones, we didn't have no female singer. And let the good time roll was hit then, you know. And
right, yeah.
I was switching my voice like Shirley, you know.
Oh, baby, let the good time roll. Come on, baby, let me do your soul.
You know,
it's pretty good.
In New Orleans, you didn't do one style of music, you know. You did Dick Tremaine, you did everything, country and western, you did blues, you know.
You have to be diversified.
Right. You sing Dixieland, you sing rock and roll, you sing blues, you know, entertain the people down in the quarters, you know, and all around New Orleans.
Okay.
And I first started in New Orleans when I was 18. But I was playing with Bobby Mitchell. I was playing trombone and piano.
Right.
What's the name with Gabriel Fleming. And he was playing trumpet and piano. We were singing for Bobby Mitchell. I'm going to be a wheel, nothing sweet as you.
Right.
And I played in this band when I was about 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The music director, Mr. William Houston at L.B. Langer High School.
Yeah.
Formed a band behind Bobby Mitchell, you know.
Right.
And I played behind Bobby in 1955, April the 1st. I had to get married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to work that night with Bobby.
Uh-huh.
And then Bobby didn't give me no more job after that, you know, because I couldn't make it, and I had to get married because it was a shotgun wedding. So
shotgun.
I was 18. I had just made 18, and my wife, I thought she was 14, but she was 13. She looked like a stallion, like she was 18 or 22, you know, and we had to get married. And okay. So Bobby, he stopped giving me jobs. Then they came and got me from my aunt's house, and I started working in a club for $5 a night, you know, 4 hours. Then I got a raise. I went to play that Bill Chicken Shack for $7 a night.
Oh, that's a big raise.
And then I got another raise, Pastor Marcellus from Gretna No Joy Lounge. He took me up there in Gretna, and I was working for $51 and for about 4 days, you know. You wouldn't believe it, but right after I got mad, me and my wife stayed together about 2 or 3 months, and she got rid of me, sent me back home to my mama, you know.
Oh, geez. So it didn't work. Okay, it didn't work out, but you did get another job, thank you.
Right, and all my clothes was in 2 handbags, catching the bus back home to Mama.
Oh, gee.
But I passed up Mama's house, went to stay with my aunt.
Was it a divorce or was it an annulment?
No, it wasn't an annulment. At that time, I didn't know about that, you know. It was just a separation.
Separation. But then, did you eventually divorce?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking around the year 1955. Of course, 1955 was 1 year prior to you having Ain't Got No Home. So you wrote the song. You decided one day you're going to write a song which incorporates all three of your voices. Or you actually wrote it in the club.
The club, playing Spot of the Moment in the club at the Old Joy Lounge in Gretna. I was singing it. You ain't got no home. The people ain't got no home. I started right in the club.
Was it inspired by the plight of homeless people,
right.
Actually?
A lot of people, you know. And I was just singing it every night, you know?
That poor guy, really, the guy, the girl, the frog, they don't got no anything. They got no home. They ain't got no one.
They ain't got no mother.
They got no mother, no father. They ain't got nobody, nothing at all.
Right, they're all alone by themselves.
Ooh, ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know face wrong. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home. I got a voice. I love to sing. I sing like a girl. And I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
I ain't got no one.
Ain't Got No Home, Clarence Frogman Henry. Got to tell you something on a personal note. That is one of the first 45 RPM records that I ever bought. Really, that is the truth.
But it was on a it first came out on a 78.
Well, I bought it on a 45.
And right after that,
the reason
45.
I bought the 45 because I had a bad habit of breaking 78s. I was very careless. 45s don't break that easily. They can chip, but you got to go out of your way to, you know, have it crack into a million pieces. You got to go some to make it do that. Anyway, Ain't Got No Home by Clarence Frogman Henry got to number 20 on the chart. It actually made the top 40 in 1957, but the record first made the chart in 1956, the end of 56. I'm Ronnie Allen, talking with the man of many voices, Clarence Frogman Henry, and we're going to play the flip side of that record right now. Another really optimistic song, right? Troubles, troubles.
Everybody got troubles.
Everybody got troubles. So,
don't have trouble, you got the blues, and the blues ain't nothing but trouble.
Everybody got troubles, 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 and I got troubles too. Everybody got troubles, 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 and I got troubles too. I got so much trouble, I don't know what to do. Everybody got troubles, 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 troubles all the time. Everybody got troubles, 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 troubles all the time. I got so many troubles, I'm about to lose my mind. I got troubles with the rent man, I got troubles with my wife, I got troubles with the income tax, I had trouble all through my life. Everybody got troubles, 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 nobody satisfied. Everybody got troubles, 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 nobody satisfied. There's but one way out, and I guess that's suicide.
Frogman Henry and Troubles, Troubles. I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Clarence, and you are in New Orleans right now as we talk.
And I got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Well, I hope not.
I got trouble with my wife.
I know. Well,
I got six wives, seven marriage. I got trouble with the rent man. I got to pay the rent on the first of the month, Ronnie.
Are you?
I don't want no trouble with the IRS.
No, no. Do you really have troubles now, or are you just saying it for fun right now?
Oh, no, I had my ups and downs.
You are married to the seventh woman right now?
My seventh marriage and the sixth wife.
So that means one was twice.
That's right, the fifth and sixth were twice.
Okay, but now you're on number seven.
I'm on number seven.
Okay. I'm not going to go any further with that. We're going to move right along to... Now, this is an interesting story. When a company releases a song, it's difficult for any record to become a hit record, but when there is title confusion, that makes the odds a little bit greater. In this particular case, the initial pressings of the record, But I Do, it was originally called I Don't Know Why,
right,
parentheses, But I Do, and then they changed it to just But I Do. What was the reason that they changed it?
Because I Don't Know Why it was the old standard.
The one, in fact, that Linda Scott, back in the same year later on, had I Don't Know Why, I Love You
right.
Like a... Oh, okay. To avoid the confusion, they changed it to But I Do.
Right. I think it was better. But I Do was a better title than I Don't Know Why.
In fact, it became your biggest hit. Who wrote the song?
Bobby Charles and Paul Gates.
Was it written especially for you?
We had that one on the shelf. We wrote that one during the time we recorded Ain't Got No Home. I had three records in between Ain't Got No Home and But I Do. There was very small local hits. Leonard Kess came down from Chicago, and I was playing down on Bourbon Street. And he walked in the club with Cooperstein.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Frogman, you're going in the studio tomorrow, and you're going to record. I said, I don't have no music, you know. So, but Paul Gate went there, and we got What I Do off the shelf. Went in the studio, and we had Alan Toussaint.
Was it recorded in 1961?
1960.
Did you have any special feeling about that song? Did you say this is going to be a monster hit?
No, we didn't know, really, truthfully. We didn't know it was going to be as big as it was.
Right now, let's listen to the recording that made you a top 10 recording artist. And you can listen very carefully to this one, folks, but you ain't going to hear any girls or any frogs in this one. So we'll just call you Clarence Henry for this one, and it's called But I Do. I think that the billing on the record just said Clarence Henry for But I Do, didn't it? Because you,
right.
You weren't a frog on that record.
Because it was a change in the voice, and then people thought it was a different guy, you know? They didn't know it was Clarence Henry, the frog man.
Ah.
You know, because of the voice, the natural voice, and singing a ballad, like, you know?
You did the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars tour. You went from place to place. Paul Anka was the headliner.
Paul Anka, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you ever recorded the I Don't Know Why.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did it in England, uh-huh.
Really?
Right.
Full circle. Well, you could actually do it as a medley. I Don't Know Why, I Love You, But I Do. And then
that's what I do. I do But I Do.
Yeah, oh.
It's Always Hurt the One You Love, and I Don't Know Why I Love You Like I Do.
Speaking of You Always Hurt the One You Love, which, by the way, was a number one hit in 1944, for the Mills Brothers, so it was a
right.
Standard. And this was something a little bit different for you because it was the first hit record by you that was a recording of a standard.
The company was looking for a follow-up, in which it was I'm a Fool to Care. They sent me the dub to learn the words and, you know, phrase the words of the music of I'm a Fool to Care.
I remember that
and
song.
And come Joe Berry out on why or how.
Yep.
He came out with I'm a Fool to Care. So we had to hurry up and scramble and get her back up to What I Do. So Leonard Chess flew Alan Toussaint and I up to Chicago. They put together a studio band. went through a lot of songs, and we come up with You Always Hurt the One You Love with the Mills Brothers.
You'll always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You'll always say the sweetest road and crush it till the past. Love you more of all.
Ronnie Allen, pleased to be talking with one of my favorite recording artists, Clarence Frogman Henry, who by this time was no longer actually using the Frogman as part of his billing, but once you have a frog in you, it never totally disappears. You can always lean back and do that frog, and I'm sure you do the frog a lot when you perform. You still perform today, I'm sure.
Oh, people just love me. When I do the frog, they just love it.
Yep. I want to ask you about the concerts that you opened. You opened several concerts across the country for an act called the Beatles? Oh, the Beatles. Okay, the Beatles. Wow. What was it like opening for the Beatles?
Well, what happened, my manager at the time, Bob Astor, he was working for GAC, and he brought the Beatles over here in America. And he went to the West Coast and tours out there. And when he came on the East Coast, Bob put me with them, you know, me and Jackie DeShannon and Bill Black Combo, you know, the backup band. So Bob put me with them. I did 18 dates with them. Was together for 21 days. Right. Had 3 days down in Key West, Florida.
Okay.
A vacation night, you know.
Did you ever get any hostility from the audience? Did they ever say, "We want the Beatles, we want the Beatles"?
No.
Never happened. That's good. I'm glad.
Our acts went along real great.
I'm glad to hear that.
And the Beatles show was something different that I had never seen before. They had doctors, nurses, ambulances, and a whole lot of policemen, you know, and things. And everywhere we went, a lot of cities like Boston and New Orleans and a few other cities, they put us out of there. We were supposed to stay overnight, but I don't know what happened, but they put us, rushed us out of there. Because when I came to New Orleans, I thought I was going to stay with my family overnight. And I brought my clothes home, and they called me up and told me, bring it back because we're leaving right out, you know. I really enjoyed the Beatles. Paul and Bill Black combo singer, Eric, I think his name was. The three of us were like the three musketeers, you know.
Right.
Paul was down home, you know.
Really?
Like a soul brother, you know. And Ringo, he wanted to know about my career, you know, and things, you know. Mm-hmm. Those two of the Beatles were real friendly.
They were the ones that you knew the best. I'm going to talk about a serious subject right now before we close with the final record. You have lived in New Orleans all your life?
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, when Katrina hit, it affected everybody in that city. Were you at home when Katrina hit?
No. What happened, we had a storm, a hurricane before Katrina, and we went to Houston. We stayed there 3 days, and we came back.
Right.
And so here come Katrina, and my children, and I had 17 of us. We left out of New Orleans that Sunday morning at 1 o'clock.
How many? 17 children?
I have 10 children.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. But 17 of the family, grandchildren, and, you know, I have 46 grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Were they able to all get out?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What happened, 17 of us left at 1 o'clock that morning, and we went up through Mississippi into Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
And I left here with three T-shirt and three shorts. You know, we thought we was coming back in 3 days again. And we wind up staying up there for a month. And in Memphis.
So you actually left before the storm hit?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And when I got back home, I didn't know how my house was or what, you know, damage. My dog got a loose. He was on the internet, and my fence had came down, the trees, all the trees came down, and I had about a third of my house was, you know.
Destroyed?
Roof damage. I had a piano that was 55 years old. The water got inside of it and damaged it. I mean, just totaled it, you know.
Well, was the house, were you able to move back into the house, or did you have
When I got back, I was able to live in my house.
All right.
But the front part of my house, you know, a third of my house.
Right.
One room was total.
And oh, gee.
I have a whole lot of pictures, like 100, 1,000 of pictures. I only lost two, you know. And my living room, about a half of that was damaged with roof damage.
Did you have the pictures stored in a safe place? Is that the reason?
No, they're on a wall.
And amazingly, they all survived except two, or is that?
Right. Oh, it's only two of them.
Having lived through Katrina, and fortunately, I think all told, in spite of the damage that you mentioned, I guess you have reasons to consider yourself lucky in terms of not just yourself, but your family. Did it change your outlook on life at all, as far as priorities and that sort of stuff?
Katrina did something to families. There's a lot of depression, and you find out who was in your corner, who wasn't in your corner, you know, and it broke up a lot of family, and it opened a lot of people's eyes.
You got to treasure each day.
Right.
You sound like a very cheerful guy.
I am. God has really blessed me with my family, with everything. He's given me just what I asked for, you know.
I'm going to play a song called On Bended Knee.
Bobby Charles, he wrote that one. I'm always on my knees. I'm begging, please, you know.
So Bobby knew that, and he said, I'm going to write a song because he's always on his knees. So On Bended
Knee. Most of my songs are true. Story of my life.
Thank you so very much, Clarence Frogman Henry. Good night, Clarence.
Good night, Ronnie.
Good night, Ronnie.
Good night, Ronnie. Good night, Ronnie.
Please forgive me if I cry for my baby say goodbye. All I do is hope and pray that she come back home someday. She left me feeling so blue, I didn't know just what to do. If she only come back home, I wouldn't feel so all alone. The tears I shed all tears in vain. Send my baby back again. I didn't know I missed her so. Tell me why she had to go. Got to pray to you above. Send me back the girl I love. won't you please? I beg of you on bended knee.
Well, that's the show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by Clarence. First off, we have the follow-up to You Always Hurt the One You Love. It's called Lonely Street.
No kisses for me. No street to die. For no one loves me.
Finally, here's Clarence's beautiful interpretation of a song that was a hit for Nat King Cole. This is Looking Back.
Looking back over my life, I can see where could you strive. But I know, oh yes, I know, I'll never make that same mistake again. Looking back over my deed, I can see signs wise men need. And if I just had a chance, I'll never make that same mistake again. Once my cup was overflowing, but I gave nothing in return. Now I can't begin to tell you what a lesson back over the space. I can see love turned to hate, but I know, oh yes, I know, I'll never make that same
mistake again.